We're glad that you are here with us today to share. You know, it was interesting. I heard about a kindergarten teacher who was observing her classroom one day, and the kids were drawing. And so the teacher would walk around the class and kind of observe what was going on with the kids. And she was just kind of observing, looking over their shoulder at what they were drawing. And this one young girl, her drawing caught the teacher's attention. And the teacher asked her, said, "Sweetheart, what are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing God." Now the teacher said, "Sweetheart," said nobody can draw God. Nobody knows what God looks like. To which the little girl replied, "They will in a minute." You know, I don't know how confident you are in how well you know God. You know, if you're like me, it kind of wanes. You know, some days you feel like you just feel awesome in how much you know about God and how close you are to Him. And then there's other days where the things of the world and the struggles of life are a little harder, and it's just a little bit more difficult to understand and to realize not only who God is, but how He's speaking to you. Over the last 3 weeks, today's week four, we've been trying to debunk these cultural beliefs about God. And we titled it this, "God Never Said That." And we've been looking at things that I think people a lot of times think God said in His Word, but really He never did. You know, things like that God wants me happy. You know, that was the first week, and how you know what? God's number one job in the world is not for you or for me to be happy. God is not a great vending machine in the sky. Remember the passage in that we read that said that those who are godly will be happy? And how, you know, God never said that this is the number one thing on God's plate, on God's agenda every day, is to make sure that you are happy. God wants us faithful. God wants us to live lives that honor Him. Then the second week, we looked at this one. God won't give you more than you can handle. Remember, we looked at a lot of passages in the Old Testament where David and others said that they were crushed. Their spirit was crushed. Even Jesus said that His spirit was crushed even to the point of death. That the Bible never says that God won't give us more than we can handle. And we taught you how that was a misunderstanding, a misrepresentation, a misinterpretation of the passage where Paul says in Corinthians that God won't tempt us beyond what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, He'll provide a way of escape. Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life does seem to be more than we can bear, but we can still turn and we can trust in God. Last week, week three, we tried to debunk this cultural belief that says God told us that it really doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anyone, and how foreign that is to what God really teaches us from His Word. Well, we're going to finish this up today, okay? And as we've done each week, we've kind of introduced each topic with a video that was shot and produced by Life Church out in Oklahoma. And this one's really, really good. So give your attention to this just for a minute.
I'm just really searching right now. I mean, my favorite professor doesn't even believe in God. And my roommate is part of this totally different religion that's actually pretty interesting to me. And then there's my boyfriend who just kind of picks and chooses from different religions. You know, I always thought I knew what I believed about God. Now I'm just not sure.
Well, the good news is it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere.
I shouldn't even have to tell you this.
But God never said that. I do believe that sincerely looked like it hurt. You got one on your hair. That's hilarious.
You know, I believe in angels. I'm just not sure he's the real thing. Here's the cultural misbelief today. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. You know, this is prevalent in the world in which we live today. People think this way. People think that all roads lead to God, that all paths lead to God, that God is like the pinnacle of a giant mountain, and there's many paths up the side of that mountain, and different religions that take a path, but they all reach the same place when they get to the pinnacle, when they get to the summit of the mountain. And here's the thing, folks, the Bible doesn't say that. I mean, we may live in a culture today that is prevalent, that is a popular way to believe, but the Bible teaches something very different than that. But here's the thing, folks: when you think about God, when you think about spirituality, when you think about Christ, let me ask you a question about that, about God, about spirituality, about Christ. Think about it. Not very many people debate the existence of God. I mean, when you think about God, you got to look long and hard before you find somebody that doesn't believe in some kind of God, in some form of a deity, and that they believe that there is a power, that there is an existence beyond them. Think about that. It's this idea about God. Everybody believes. How about spirituality? I mean, when you think about spirituality, the world is full of people that believe all kinds of things. You know, I read the other day, and I had to check it, and it's actually a real group, a group in Memphis, Tennessee. They believe that when God, and they use that term, they didn't say about Jesus or anything, when God comes back, that Elvis is coming with him. You know, I know some of you probably, wow, that would be really cool if that happened, right? I mean, listen, you can find people that believe anything today. Matter of fact, somebody posted a video on Facebook not long ago of Oprah. And she was explaining her religious beliefs. And she used this term spirituality. You know, everybody wants to be spiritual. People want to believe in something beyond themselves. But if you want to stop the room, and if you want the room to become really, really quiet, just bring up Jesus. I mean, people don't debate the existence of a higher power. Even detractors, acknowledge that spirituality is important. But most people, while they acknowledge that Jesus lived, they'll say things like, oh, I love his teaching. I love how he helped the poor. I love how he loved other people and how he blessed people, how he served, how he forgave, and all these kinds of things. But then if you read them this verse, John chapter 14, in verse 6, where it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All of a sudden, the people that would never deny the existence of God, would understand the importance of spirituality, are stopped in their tracks because of this exclusive nature of the teaching of Jesus. Did Jesus really say that? That he is the only way? That there's no other path to God? I mean, did he really say that, or did he mean something else? I mean, think about all the religions of the world. All the religions of the world. Are they the same? You know, there's people that believe this, that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere in your belief. When you bring up that point and you ask, are all the religions of the world the same? Most of the time what they will say is yes, all the religions of the world are the same. They're different paths to God, but they all lead to the same place. Really? Is that true? I mean, are all the religions of the world the same? The same truth? The same beautiful teaching? Do they stand on equal footing? Well, let me just remind you that Buddhism really doesn't believe in a God or any kind of final existence. They believe that simply life is reincarnated over and over and over again. And if you live a good life in one life, the next life that you'll come back, you'll be a higher being. And you just keep cycling through life, getting better and better. Or how about Hinduism? They don't adhere or talk about a personal God at all. Matter of fact, their God is a very impersonal God. And you approach him not through a relationship, but through deities and through statues and through idols. I mean, think about it. Buddhism and Hinduism, they don't offer forgiveness of sins or supernatural help with life. They just simply said that you are subject to the karma of life and how it treats you. I mean, how about the Muslims? We hear a lot about Muslim and the Muslim religion today. They worship Allah. But they don't talk about any kind of secondary gods, and there's a total ban on idols and the worship of deities that way. And your standing with Allah depends on your righteous devotion and your works. Or how about the New Age religion? No personal God, higher consequences and the universe or the cosmos and everything and every living being and entity is all the same. How does that differ from Christianity? Who says that God is a personal God who made us in His image and sent His Son Jesus to die in our place on the cross. And He did that to show us His love and to offer us His forgiveness and to give us this place called heaven where we can spend eternity with Him. Listen, friends, don't ever let anybody tell you that all world religions are the same. They're not the same. They don't teach the same truth. They don't have the same things that are beautiful and honorable and holy. And what we do here, folks, is different because we celebrate and we follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So let's just spend a few minutes here thinking about Jesus and about His teaching on these kinds of things. Now let me just throw a couple things out for you to think about. You know, consider Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was all about love and grace and forgiveness. He said things like, Father, forgive them. He said things like, it is finished. Meaning, on the one hand, that He could offer forgiveness to anyone and everyone in the world. It is finished. He emphasizes there that He came to carry out a plan. That God sent His one and only Son to this earth for a particular reason. He said when He was hanging on the cross, into your hands I commit my spirit. Signifying that He had this relationship with His Father in heaven. And when He was on the cross, he said to a thief that was hanging with Him, today you will be with me in paradise. When He was hanging on the cross, one of the Roman soldiers said, surely this was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was different. And you just have to study His ministry and look at His ministry to realize just how different He was, because the difference was great. You know, you just have to think about things like His resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's interesting because in Mark chapter 2, listen to this word, verse 16. He said, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked His disciples, why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Those who were despised, Jesus loved, Jesus accepted. Those who were caught in adultery, He did not stone them. He forgave their sin and told them to sin no more. He opened the blinded eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused the mute to speak. He caused lepers to be able to come back into society and live clean and holy lives. He turned water to wine. He walked on water and He raised the dead. And then He died. And on the third day, He rose again. You see, folks, when you consider Jesus' ministry, when you consider his resurrection, when you consider all that he did, it's absolutely amazing. And then you think about it, when he died, these people that were called his disciples, they did an amazing thing. They all laid down their life for this man's teaching. They laid down their life because of his ministry, because of his resurrection, because of what they believed. And contrary to what some people think, this band of early followers stole his body and hid his body, and they knew very well that he had died. Really, would they have done that? Would they have lived the life that they lived? Would they have remained so faithful? Matter of fact, you think about it. There was only one, it says, that doubted, and that was Thomas. Do you know that history tells us that Thomas went to Africa and gave his life for the ministry of Jesus Christ? That he became a martyr because of his belief. And when he went and he evangelized so many, history tells us that he was speared to death. And now 2,000 years later, there's still massive persecution around the world because of people that follow this one called Jesus. Are all world religions the same? Absolutely not. Jesus was different. He was different because of his ministry. He was different because of his resurrection. He was also different because of his words. He was different because of his message, the message that he taught to us. Now let me take a minute and show you this message. I love this passage. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 22. This is the New Living Translation. I want you to look at this with me. Look, it says, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are." Could you read that with me? Let's read it together. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. You see, that's the difference. That's the message of Jesus. It's different. His ministry, his resurrection, his teaching. And here's the thing, folks. He told us to continue this teaching, take this teaching throughout the whole world and to share this message right here. What is this message? This message is that we have an opportunity to be made right with God. Think about that, folks. Think about what that means to live that kind of life. To be made right with God. It's amazing. Because so many people in our world today, they just think that God's mad at them. God's mad. However they understand God, however they believe in God, they just think that God is mad at them. They hope that this is true, that all roads lead to God, that it doesn't matter which religion you're a part of as long as you believe it sincerely. And they just have this idea. They don't know who God is. They don't know what kind of God he is. They don't understand the message of his son that he sent to die in our place. And they just don't realize that God is there, ready, willing, and able to forgive them and to make their relationship right with him. Have you ever noticed how many religions of the world, when they talk about God, it's always that he's a mad God, that he's an angry God. You know, years ago, I had a friend, kind of acquaintance, more of an acquaintance when I was in high school. His name was Jerry. His last name was Collins. We were not related, but Jerry and John Collins. So we always sat near each other in different classes, and we became pretty good friends. It's ironic because now he's actually a pastor in Central Virginia. And we still occasionally will talk. But last time I saw him, I was traveling through Virginia, and I stopped, and he brought something up. He said, "John, do you remember that time we were going to fight over Angela?" Now, Angela was this girl that we had gone to school with, and I guess that I'd forgotten about it, but I remembered it after he said it. You know, he liked Angela, I liked Angela, and we decided one day that we were going to actually have this physical altercation to figure out who got Angela. And we had set up this time. We were going to meet at this particular place. It was at the telephone switching building there in Pennington. And I remember walking down the street, and I see Jerry coming, and we kind of met on the street, and we were ready. We were going to fight and see who gets Angela. You know what happened? We decided that, you know what? Neither of us really liked her very much. So not only did we fight, we actually shook on the fact that we were just going to both dump her at the same time. But I remember going to that meeting thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to fight this Jerry. You know, he's a friend of mine, but I got to protect my honor and I got to protect what's right. You know, and he was thinking the same way. And when we finally got into the presence of each other, we decided a different path. You know what? There's a lot of people that they come before God. They're thinking about God. They're studying God. And all they can think about is how mad God is at them. And how God wants to punish them. And how God wants to severely hurt them in life. Listen, folks. God's desire is for us to be made right with Him. And any religion that has a goal, anything other than that, it's a false religion. Matter of fact, look at what he says here. He says, we are made right with God by. In other words, he's going to teach us here what we have to do, what we have to encounter, what we have to adopt in order to be made right with God. And he says here that we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say here that we are made right with God by accepting any religion of the world. He doesn't say that we're made right with God by living by the tenets of some world religion. He says, no, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, what he's saying here is he is reiterating exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And here Paul says that's that faith in Jesus Christ, not in any other, not by any other can we find this righteousness before God. Look at what else he says. He says, and this is true for everyone who believes. It's not for a particular nation. It's not for a particular people. It's not for a particular people with a particular color of skin or a particular economic situation or educational place in life. He says that we are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, and this is for everyone who believes. But notice that he doesn't say that this is for everyone. It's for anyone who believes in anything, but it's for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord. And then look at the way he ends this, no matter who you are. Isn't that a beautiful message? A message of reconciliation, a message of grace, a message of just love that comes from God through the person of Jesus Christ. No other religion in the world gives us that. No other religion in the world gives us that. It's all about faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I ever told you this story real quickly. Years and years and years ago, I was invited very early on in my ministry here. I was invited to take part in a community Easter Good Friday service. And the fellow that had invited me, he was a local pastor at a United Methodist Church here. So I said, sure, I would love to do that. And so I was going to be up on the platform with three or four other ministers. Most of them were United Methodist ministers, and then there was, I forget who the other guy was. Anyway, this one fella came to me, and he wanted to offer me a robe to wear. Everybody else will have robes on, Pastor John, and hey, you know, you can wear a robe too, and here, I've got one that'll fit you. And I'm like, dude, I don't wear a robe. He's like, oh, it'll look better if you're dressed like the rest of us. I said, are you kidding me? If anybody comes into that place that knows me and they see me wearing a robe, I mean, what would you guys think if you came in here on Sunday and I had a robe on? No. Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though, folks. No matter who we are, we don't have to try to be somebody else. We don't have to try to find God by any kind of organized religion, because that's not what it's about. It's about knowing Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, it's about not having to be obedient, but getting to be obedient. You see, it's not about a religion. It's not about an obligation. It's about a relationship. It's about a response with Him. It's about understanding that Jesus really does love me. And that's the truth. And you see, here's the thing, folks. When we live in such a way that we think every religion is all the same, when you believe everything, what happens is you really believe nothing. Because we have to understand that there are some people that are going to be wrong, dead wrong, about God and about how to find Him. You know, here's the way I kind of think about it. Have you ever seen a child with an umbrella and maybe a big bouquet of balloons? You know, and they're skipping down, and they have their umbrella because it might rain, and they've got their balloons because they're just enjoying the balloons, and you see the balloons, and you say, "Wow, sweetheart, what a beautiful bouquet of red balloons." Kid's going to look at you, and what are they going to say? "These balloons aren't red. My balloons are green." And maybe you want to make a point, and you say, "No, sweetheart, those balloons are red. No, my balloons are green. No, I know what I'm talking about, and your balloons are red." I think a lot of times that depicts how people look at this subject in our world today. People today think, they believe, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, all roads lead to God, and no matter if you're this or that or something else, when in reality, the Bible teaches that it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can know God and we can be made right in Him. But a lot of times, it's like arguing with a child about the color of a balloon. And regardless of what we say, the reality is those balloons are green. You ever felt like that? I felt that way about my relationship with Christ, about my understanding with God. People just say things, they believe things, they live by tenets that are just crazy. They're just way off base. But it doesn't matter what you say to them, they won't believe or accept the truth. But folks, here's the point. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And if we're trying to find God by religion, I think we'll all be disappointed in the end. You see, that's why Jesus is different. That's the greatest difference about Jesus, because He did not come to give us a bunch of tenets to live by, but He came to show us the true eye color of God's eyes and the beauty of His heart. And He didn't come to tell us about God or to point towards God. He came to show us how to be in this wonderful and right relationship with Him. You see, religion is about what I do. Religion is about me and about my obedience. Religion is about don'ts and about adhering to the rules of the game. And religion is all about that if I obey God, then God will love me. But in Jesus Christ, what we found to be true, it's not about what I do, it's about what Jesus has done. It's not about me, it's about Christ and His teaching. It's not about what I do, it's about what He has done. And it's not about me obeying Him enough that He loves me. It's about me responding to His love by obedience to Him. Not living a certain way because we have to in order to make sure that God isn't mad at us, but that we get to. It's the difference between obligation and responding to His love. So let me just sum it up this way, folks. If If any religion denies the lordship and the work of Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior, don't believe a word of it, because it will not ultimately lead to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, sometimes I think in our desire to be relevant, in our desire to be accepted, that, Lord, we accept an awful lot that You don't want us to. And Father, I just pray that today that we would know that when Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me, that, Lord, You meant just that. That unless a person bows down and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we will not be found to be a part of Your eternal kingdom. So God, I pray that we would use that as a motivation, Lord, to share that message with the world, with every religion. Lord, may we know that there's big differences in the religions of the world, that Christianity and the lordship of Jesus Christ has something that no other religion has. And that's that He died for us and invites us not into a religion, but into a relationship with Him. And Father, I pray that every person in this room this morning has embraced that relationship with Him. That by believing and by faith, Lord, they've come to understand how important it is that we accept Him. And God, may all of us, if we've done that, may we celebrate that, Lord, and share that message with others. And if we haven't done that, Lord, may we reach out to You even right now as we sing and share this song together. And by faith, Lord, we'll trust in You, the only one true way to God our Father. In His name we pray, even Jesus.